Good morning. Today we're going to pick up on where I left off last week, which is I believe that God wants us to have a spirit of faith for 2018. So I'd like to read to you from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. This is after the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration is where Jesus and three of his disciples are up on top of the mountain, and he was transformed. His inner nature, divine nature, started shining forth. His clothes became whiter than any launderer could make them. His face was bright as the sun. The disciples were kind of freaking out. It says they were terrified. And then God the Father spoke, "This is my Son, with him I'm well pleased." They came off the mountain, and what happened? The devil shows up, right? And that happens a lot when you can have a spiritual high point, and then the next thing you know, seems like the devil's just right there at work. All hell breaks loose. So I want to pick up reading where the man came to Jesus whose son was afflicted with a demon. So verse 17, one in the crowd answered Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." He answered them and said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. When he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. Falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this is your word. We pray that you would write it in our hearts, and especially today, Father, I pray you would inspire faith in us, that we would believe you are able to do things that we are unable to do. And we ask you to rid us of our unbelief in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God wants us to have this spirit of faith. So on your fill-in, the first point is all things are what? Possible for him who believes. And last week, the last couple weeks, the next point is, I must believe that Christ in me is greater than my sinful nature. We saw that we have a sinful nature, but we have the Spirit of God. And so we have to believe that God's Spirit is stronger than our sinful nature and the wrong ideas and wrong things that afflict us. Last week, I quoted Terry Virgo. He said, "Our greatest need is to see God, to recognize that everything that stands against us is nothing compared to his covenant promises. God will fulfill his promises in our lives." So that's the next point. Did you get that? Our greatest need is to see God and then to be free from our unbelief. So unbelief hinders what God wants to do. But the bottom line is nothing can stop God from doing what he's planned to do. God said, "I'm going to take my people into the promised land," and he took them in. There were greater nations, giants, fortified cities, but God said, "Doesn't matter, I am going to give you the land." However, their unbelief delayed what God wanted to do by 40 years. So we don't want to have unbelief, but we have to stand with this fact that nothing can stop God. The Almighty God is your God. You can trust him. You can boast in him. And this translates in being specific in prayer about how you want to change, how you are real about your struggles and bring them to him and address it. How many of us struggle with stress? Okay, stress is a big one. I shared last week how my son Daniel told us this past year. He said, "God's delivered me from stress. I'm used to stress about every engineering exam, all the projects. It weighed me down." And we're like, "Well, how did you get free?" He goes, "I prayed it away." It seems so simple. But he said, God freed me. That's huge. And so I want us to have that attitude. We had a prayer meeting to pray for the new year a couple weeks ago. I went around and said, what would you like to see God do in 2018? My wife Ingrid said, I want God to free me from worrying about money. She's being real, okay? God will answer Ingrid's request because she's bringing her will in line with God's will. And if we ask something according to God's will, he hears us and he answers it. Are you with me? Okay. So number four, being real and addressing my struggles brings my will in line with God's will. Now, I want us to apply this principle in another way. How many of us believe God wants to save people in Boston? Yeah. All right. 2 Peter 3:9. Some of these are on your sheet. It says that God is not slow about his promise. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Paul in 1 Timothy 2, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Luke 19, Jesus, after Zacchaeus, repents. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 15, 7, I tell you, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over what? One sinner who repents than over 99 people who don't need to repent. We see the heart of God in all this. God wants to touch people. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my what? Witnesses. Okay? A witness. A witness is you share the truth that you've seen and know. And that's what we do about what Jesus has done in our life. It's very simple. Now, how many of you actually led somebody to Jesus last year? Oh, a couple people did. Praise God. That's great. But most of us are like, oh, I wish Dave wouldn't ask this question. He's giving his annual evangelism speech or whatever. No, I don't want us to feel that way. If God says this is what he wants to do, I want to get my life in line with his will. Amen? Good. If you set as a goal having a desire to reach somebody, that's bringing your will in line with God's will. At the same prayer meeting, I said, what do you want God to do? We got to Pat Russ. Pat said, I want to do a Bible study with my next door neighbor and his daughter. That's his goal. I'm like, good. That's a great goal. I think that's a God kind of goal. It's something that he wants to do. So I'd like us all to imitate Pat and Ingrid in both our personal lives and in having this goal of, Lord, use me to reach one other person. Just make that our prayer. I'm not expecting you to be an evangelist. We could use an evangelist in our church, right? But I'm not expecting you to be an evangelist. I am expecting you to be a witness because Jesus says you're a witness. Jesus says you're the light of the world. Wow, that's a great calling. That's a responsibility. So I'm calling you to live up to that and to believe God can use you. I know you can't do it, but I believe God can do it through you. Are you with me? Okay. Tell your neighbor, God can use you to reach somebody else. So number five on your sheet, let's agree with the Father's will and ask him to use us to reach another person. The next point, we cannot allow our past lack of success to discourage us. Many times we've tried to talk to people, we've witnessed to people, or we've invited them to an Easter service or a Christmas service, and they say, I'm not interested, or no, I don't come. I just asked my neighbor next door because I'm going to do another alpha. I said, hey, would you like to come to this course we have, do an alpha, or you know, want to do some kind of Bible study? And he was very polite. He goes, Dave, thank you for inviting me, but I already, you know, do something weekly. I'm not really interested in that. That happens a lot, right? So what do? Do you get discouraged, get down on yourself? feel like, well, I just can't do that. I'm not an evangelist. Boston's too hard. People aren't interested. What, I mean, you can help me, right? All the things that we think. Well, we're not going to do that. Amen? Okay, we have to give all that to God. We have to bring our disappointments, failures, unbelief, and give it to Him. How did the Israelites, we studied this last week, conquer the land of Canaan, the promised land? The big thing was God said, I'm going to do it. It's not going to be your power. It's not going to be anything great about you. We saw in Deuteronomy 11, God says, I'm going to put a fear of you in the hearts of all the people. And that's exactly what happened. When the spies went and they met Rahab, Rahab said, when we heard what God did in parting the Red Sea and destroying the Egyptian army, our hearts melted with fear. We have to believe that the same God that put that fear in those people's hearts can put a fear of Him in the hearts of people that you work with, live near, go to school with. Do you believe that? But we have to pray for that. And we have to pray. Prayer is part of how this works. God expects us to ask. So did you get the fill-in? The same God can put a fear of Himself in the hearts of our friends. A little over a couple years ago, a friend of Michelle's, Pastor Rishi from India, came and shared. He had an amazing testimony of how God saved him out of Hinduism and demonism and all these spiritual things that he was in. He had a prophecy for us. I don't know if you remember it. He said that he saw our church as people who had gone to medical school, done their like internship and residency at the hospital and become doctors, but they weren't practicing. It's like we weren't treating anyone. And that God wanted us to practice. He wanted us to put into practice what we had learned. And he kind of went on after that, and I kind of stopped him because I felt like he was getting condemning. But I really felt he had a word from the Lord for us. He didn't know us. We have so many people. Most of you in this church are mature. You know the Lord. You know what He's like, and you know His word. God wants you to share what you know with people who don't know His word and don't know what He's like. That's what it means to make disciples. We share what we've learned with somebody else. You can do that. So what God was saying is that you're ready. Step out. Can we take that to heart? I felt that was like the Lord speaking through someone who didn't know us, but who has, you know, a heart for the lost. And He just said that to us. I want us to take that to heart. I want you to believe that God says you're able. You have what other people need. I want you to believe that. You know, at one point, Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Well, we have the words of eternal life. God's given those to us. We've got it. So we need to share it. So I pray for us as a church frequently. I say, Father, put us to work. Put us into practice, okay? Give us people that are ready to hear. So I'm praying that for you. I'm praying that for myself. If you're discouraged about winning people, I've got a lot more to be discouraged about. I'm a full-time pastor. It's my job to talk to people about Jesus. Right? I didn't lead anybody to the Lord last year. But you know what? I ran a couple alphas. I helped people grow in their faith. I wrote a Christmas message with the gospel to all my friends, and I sent it to them. One of them responded positively and wants to talk to me about it. I'm sowing seeds because if you want a big harvest, you've got to sow a lot of seeds. So we have to keep sowing and keep sowing and believe God says He's not mocked. If you keep sowing, you'll reap what you sow. But if we don't sow many seeds, if we hardly talk to anybody about the Lord or share the gospel, we can't be surprised that people aren't getting saved. I mean, it's just logical. So we want to sow seeds. I want Abundant Grace to be a seed-sowing body of believers. So number 8 on your sheet, God says you are ready and able. And then the next point, whatever creates unbelief in us, we must give to God. Jesus said, here's a guy, his poor son is demonized, brings him to the disciples, they can't help him. So he's discouraged. If he's just looking at things through normal, rational eyes, he's like, well, these guys aren't any help either. And then Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. It's like, kind of slaps him upside the head. That's what he does to us. Whack. Yes, if you believe I can, I can. So I want us to believe. Now, in your bulletin today, I like to do this every year, Grace Goals for 2018. Pray for an increased faith. All things are possible for him who believes. And then I'm going to get to another point soon. Pray for the Father's love to be poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So this is something you can just stick in your Bible or wherever you pray, put it on your refrigerator. What grace transformation do you want to see? Do you want to be free from stress? Put that down and start praying for it. Want to be free from the love of money? Put that down and start praying for it. And then there's our BLESS strategy. B-L-E-S-S. Begin with prayer. Listen to people. Eat with them. It's just befriending them. Serve them. And what's the last one? Sharing. Sharing what Jesus did in your life. Share how God changed you. So that's just a simple focus that will enable us to minister to people. So begin to do that. And on the other side, put down one of your friends. So Pat wanted to fill one of these out. He could put his friend and the daughter in there. I also want you to be open to people you might not think are open to the gospel. Wonderful Michelle Gefkin, at one point in life, I know this is hard to believe, was on a friend's prayer list as the least likely person to ever become a Christian. Shocking. But that's where she was at that point in life. So we don't know. People who look like, oh, this guy never wanted to get saved, you don't know that. Some of you, I've read this story before. This is a real, true life story. There's a guy named Elwin Wilson. He was a self-avowed racist during the 1960s when the Freedom Riders and people were coming and doing nonviolent protests in the South. He would go with like white crowds and throw eggs at black people, throw melons at them. There's one man named John Lewis who has since become a member of Congress. He came to a place where there was, a white-only bathroom, and he and a friend said, okay, we're just going to go in there. We're going to show that, like, this is supposed to be a land of the free. So when they went there, Wilson and some other guys just started beating them, punched them in the face, knocked them down, kicked them. They're bleeding. So that was in the 1960s. So fast forward into, the 1990s and 2000s, this guy's still a racist, but his neighborhood's changing. And a black man moves, next door to him. And so here he is. He's, approaching 70 years old. And he finds himself thinking, why don't I talk to my neighbor? And they bumped into each other, at a hardware store, and they actually chatted. And they said, oh, well, we should talk more. And they sent each other Christmas cards. Then another black man invited him to his church. And this guy went. Here's this guy who's hated black people his whole life going to an African-American church. And he comes away thinking, wow, all those people were so nice to me. Then another friend finally witnessed to him, shared the good news of Jesus Christ, and he confessed all his hatred, gave his life to Jesus, and he told this guy, wow, he goes, I feel washed clean. He saw something on television where he saw this representative Lewis, and he thought, wow, I wonder if there's a way that I could go and apologize to him. So without going into all the details, he ends up coming to Representative John Lewis's office. Here's what Representative Lewis said. Dr. King used to say to us, just love everybody. Hate is too heavy a burden to bear. And he went on to say that when we saw those people yelling at us, screaming at us, beating us, he said quietly, our struggle was not against Mr. Wilson or the others, but against the system of segregation. We wanted to win them over. We saw them as our brothers. To see people who hate you as your brothers takes the Holy Spirit. Well, Wilson came. He apologized with tears. Representative Lewis forgave him. They're brothers in Christ. So I share that with you to encourage us. We never know when God is working on somebody. That neighbor had to have enough guts to talk to someone who hated people his color. And he did. Hallelujah. So I want us to have more courage. Amen. So number 10, we must get to the place of sharing and sowing lots of seed. There's probably somebody around you that you don't think cares about Jesus in the slightest, but God's actually doing something in their heart. And so we just have to keep reaching out. So my next question is on your sheet. What do we need? My answer today is more love. We need more love. I've been reading a book on the Trinity. It talks about how God is a father, that God so loved the world that he gave. The heart of our Lord is to seek and save the lost. So how do we really know what God is like? This morning, I looked out. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and there was this beautiful light coming up in the sky. There's a little crescent moon. It was inspiring. It was glorious. I'm like, Lord, thank you. It's like this old hymn, for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. It just came up in my heart. It's beautiful. But what is he like regarding us? We can see maybe God's glorious and awesome. He's a creator. But if that's all he is, if God is just an all-powerful, glorious creator, it's pretty hard to relate to him. He's too big. He's too scary. He's too holy. It's kind of like Allah, right? Allah is great. He's God. But Muslims have no assurance that they're forgiven. They don't have a relationship with God. What does Islam mean? It means submit. It means submit. That's their whole life. Submit. That's not especially inspiring to love God, is it? So we know what God is like by how he reveals himself. He tells us what he's like in his word. God revealed himself to Moses like this. He said, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. Wow, I can relate to that, can't I? He went on to say, who will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, but I can relate to a God who's compassionate and gracious and is full of love and kindness. Jesus reveals to us what God is like. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to whom? Say it again. The Father, except through me. God is a father. Well, I can relate to a father, to a dad, especially a dad who first loved me. That's someone that I can come to. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. So that word one, that doesn't mean a mathematical singularity, like one, like the solitary one. It's the same word that's used in Genesis 2, where, speaking of Adam and Eve, it says, the two shall become one flesh. One, it means a unity. That's what the word means. So God is a unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that's who God is. That's just how God has revealed himself as our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we need to believe that. But believing that is so encouraging because the love that Jesus and the Father had before the world began, God has now sent to earth in his Son. He's poured his love by his Spirit into your hearts. So you can now love the Father, you can love each other, and we can love people around us. Are you with me? So number 12, I can relate to a God who's a Father and who first loved me. And the nature of love is to what? What's the nature of love? Yeah, to give, right? Love isn't something you like keep it all to yourself. When you love, you want to share that love with somebody else. Let's close by looking at 1 John 4. Let's read this together. It's the scripture at the bottom of your sheet. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We want God's love to be made complete in us, don't we? So how do we know what God is like? By how he's revealed himself in Scripture and through Jesus, his Son. What is love? This is love, that God loved you and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. God wants to forgive you. And God wants to forgive people around us. Paul said this beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians 5, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. We've got a great message. God doesn't want to count your sins against you. Now, what's the problem? Most people don't think they're sinful. No, seriously. That's like our big obstacle in sharing the good news with people. People think they're fine just the way they are, and that's what society tells them, and that's what their school teachers are telling them, and that's what current philosophers are telling them. So we look like bad guys. But that's okay. Just press through. Everybody deep down knows they're messed up. Right? And just be honest about our own faults and sins. Love is a universal language. Love's powerful. So can we commit ourselves to praying, Lord, pour more of your love in me. I want to have more of God's love this year. And I want it to like overflow so that I love you all more and that I have love for people around me that can bear with rejection and people being disinterested and not letting that stop us. Amen? All right, good. Father, we want to come to you and just open our hearts to you. Father, we want to be free from unbelief and discouragements about our personal lives, about being witnesses for you. Lord, lift us out of that. In Jesus' name we pray.